Should I go ahead, please?
Ready to go.
All right, thank you. So we're resuming the BC meeting. I only have 30 seconds to wrap up the policy section of the meeting and then turn it over to Chris Chaplow. The final slide you have in front of you is the public forum schedule as it's published now, and I realize it could change between now and Thursday. But it currently covers six topics that are all relevant to the BC, and we have positions in several of these areas. But the first two are really going to be in Chris's purview, strategic planning process and the budget planning. So, Chris, if you have anything to say about preparing what we're going to put into the public forum, you could cover that next. Several of us have a lot to say about the relationship between ICANN and governments. It's not something where the BC has, to my knowledge, adopted positions. I think they're gathering input from the people that attend things like IGF and ITU, and we'll several individuals here will give that. We gave a similar comment just now in front of the board that where the risks come from. Then they have an entire 30-minute segment dedicated to geographical regions review, which I'll be surprised if they fill that. Joint applicant support, we have two very firmly established positions on not wanting to lower the bar on either technical requirements like DNSSEC and IPv6 deployment. We don't want to lower the bar on continuing operations instrument for a new applicant. And we also feel that we need to add incentives for applicants for TLDs to build up multiple scripts and languages. Now, that is not in the JAS program. It's a small paragraph buried at the end of the JAS report, and the JAS group decided not to go there. But we'll probably use this part of the public forum to say that whatever we do on JAS for needy applicants, go ahead, proceed. But in addition, there's still time to make it, to create incentives. So an applicant will offer an Arabic script, a Hangul, and other scripts for a TLD they were already going to build. And ICANN may need to find ways to make that administratively easier or perhaps even financially easier by giving a discount for the savings ICANN would realize by not having to do a second evaluation of the applicant's financial status. Finally, there's a session at the end of the day, which will be probably a very hot one, and it has to do with the domain name takedowns by registries and registrars. And there will be a polarized set of opinions about the desirability of takedowns to protect from counterfeit goods or from intellectual property theft, brand management. And I believe that it's also going to speak to what governments are doing and legislation that's pending. I personally work on the bill in the U.S. Congress, the Protect IP Act. Very controversial. So I'll be surprised if there's not a lot of opinions on that. I do think the BC's position will be very consistent with protecting the integrity of domain names. And we don't have a specific position on where blocking should occur. Should it occur at the URL? Should it occur higher in the stack? But we have been huge supporters of DNSSEC. And DNSSEC can be defeated if blocking is done improperly. So I believe we'll be able to comment on that to pick the right level. So with that, I can conclude the policy section unless there are any other questions. Chris.
Thanks, Dave. Yes, Chris. I noticed the first two topics, the strategic planning process and the process of the budget planning, I see them separated. And I think for me, the more defined one is the budget planning process. I think I could do with some guidance and help from the members for views on the strategic planning process. It's a lot vaguer. It's a more difficult one. And I also noticed on the budget FY13, the presentation that we saw yesterday, the timing was in fact that the requests were almost for the budget planning were almost coming in before the strategic planning was completed, which, you know, there's two views on this. Some people say, forget strategic, go straight for budget, and other people, no, you can't, you've got to have your strategic in place before you budget, you know. So this is really sort of highlighting that issue. So as much input from members and help and for that as much possible. Thanks.
I just want to remind members, and particularly it's Marilyn speaking, particularly for the record, that the BC proposed to the CSG. The CSG took a positive decision to create a budget working group within the CSG that is chaired by Chris Chaplow. We have just launched the work in that area. We will be increasing our focus on an ongoing basis. And John, I want to thank John Berard for in the CCNSO and GNSO Council meeting, referencing the launch of that work. Chris has been recruiting participants. We'll go back to doing that in an online way. I'm going to switch the agenda now since we're running...
Marilyn, if I could... I may have misled Chris because I listed the second topic up there as ICANN process of budget planning. I did that to shortcut it. The long name is ICANN process of budget planning and allocating spending to the various communities. So it's possible that that allocation of money to the various communities might be a topic more near and dear to our hearts, and if it is, you could expand.
Right. We will have comments to make. We have existing positions on that. Thank you. I need to invite, is Adam joining us as well? Okay. Here he is, actually. I need to invite the three of you to join us, and I'm going to put you maybe right over here. We'll make a little adjustment and move somebody down so we can have three seats in a row. Can I get you to... After that bit of noise and kerfuffle, I'll welcome the team that's joined us by, since I've been negotiating with Adam on the scheduling, Adam, I think I'm going to let you do the introductions as the past chair of the nominating committee and introducing the chair and the chair-elect and explaining the purpose of our discussion. Benny is also checking to see which of our members are still joining us remotely. And if I may, Adam, turn to you to introduce the topic and your colleague.
All right. Thank you very much. Adam Peake. I'm the chair of the 2011 nominating committee. With me, Vanda Scartazzini, who's been appointed as the 2012 chair nominating committee, and Rob Hall, chair-elect and chair of the 2013 nominating committee. So I think most of you are familiar with the role of the nominating committee and the work that we do in selecting half of the voting members of the board of directors and then selecting people to join GNSO, CCNSO, and the at-large. I'm here, or we are here today, because one of the new requirements that's come out of the Accountability, Transparency, and Review team is that the nominating committee look at and become better informed about the types of skills or skill sets that the board of directors should have. So what are the skills that are required in an ICANN director? And what we're trying to do is to fulfill that recommendation is go to the different constituencies and to the community and ask, what do you think are the skill sets required of a director? What do we need on the ICANN board? The qualities and experiences, so that's the sort of general first question, is as we look at the board, what are the attributes that we should be looking for in a director? Second would be the qualities and experience that's already covered by the board. There are directors there that have a good set of skill sets. Do we have enough of one? What's the balance that's needed in this area? And this is a little bit difficult in the sense that the nominating committee, Vanda and Rob, will begin their work this week, and they will begin selection. They will begin a candidate recruitment process probably from early December through April, and then they'll make a selection process in June, but the people won't take their seat until this time next year. So you're looking very much forward-looking, and then they're beginning a three-year term. So when you're looking at the types of issues, for example, the problems to solve, for want of a better word, you're not looking at a problem that exists right now. It's where are we in 2 years' time? So what are the kinds of skill sets that we're looking for that will be addressing future challenges of ICANN? So we have to be able to see into the future. That's the other issue, the challenges that are affecting ICANN, the evolution of the organization. And I think the idea is that we'd be very interested in hearing your thoughts on these set of issues. You, of course, have two representatives to the nominating committee. You send two delegates, and they can also continue to transmit this information to Vanda and Rob. But this is an opportunity now to hear from you your initial thoughts on this particular issue.
Thank you. It's Rob Hall, and again, thank you for having us. I want to add just one thing to what Adam said, which is it's critical we hear from, well, two things maybe. It's critical that we hear from you what you do want. I think it's also critical we hear from you what you don't want. So I'll give you the example of it's often easier to say, look, this is what shouldn't be happening. We've heard in the past from various groups, for instance, that we don't need someone who can program or who understands TCP/IP at its intricate levels necessarily. If they have that, great, but that's not a key we should be looking for necessarily. So what you don't want or feel we shouldn't be concentrating on as often is as helpful as what you do. And then the other thing, of course, that I think you'll hear me say a couple times today is we look to you and perhaps this SG more than others to provide that high-level leadership in that terms of applications. So what we're looking for specifically is, you know, we can only pick from the people that apply. We need your help in getting people to apply that you think would be good for all the positions. And then perhaps the last thing I'd like to hear about, we tend to concentrate on the board. We also have to appoint what is often referred to as the swing vote in your house. We'd like to hear about the qualifications for that, because for the first time, we will be appointing someone to that, specifically knowing that at the time we choose. So in the past, under the old bylaws, we chose three candidates, and the GNSO decided where they went. This time is the first time the full process will be used, where the nominating committee has to decide. So you saw a flurry of activity in the last week where we had to decide for this year. It's because the bylaws changed on us halfway through our last term. But for the first time now, we can send different criteria out saying, if you're applying for this house, what are the criteria? And we can ask different questions even in the application if you have suggestions for that. What should we be looking for? So I know that's probably also near and dear to your heart as you're the voting rep in your house.
Yeah. Vanda Scartesini. Yeah, thank you. But one thing that I do believe we need this time is more deeply information about how people can behave in this all positions, because board is one position, but all the others and the those positions influence the way I can behave itself. So especially here in the GNSO, it's demanded that we choose. I'm not comfortable with that. I do believe that, you know, the constituents should choose that. But it's something that I'm open to debate and debate with the general counsel too. We need to do that or not. In fact, there is there in the bylaws. We need it. But the bylaw is there to be changed. So if we feel that the best thing to the GNSO will be other way, we need to talk about it. You need to press in that way. It's in my point of view, it's we need to focus on the best interests of the constituents in the ICANN itself, and not because someone decides that we should take as, you know, God's law. So it's something that I do believe we need your opinion, your income, you know, inputs on that. And the second issue is I do believe that we have a sense and a list what is we have in the board, which qualities we have on the board. And but in my point of view, there is lack of others. And I would like to have you adding your values on that. What is the values we need to look for to fulfill, you know, requirements for these constituents and for the other ones? So it's something that it's nowadays with the new organization, we need to be more clear, more transparent, and give back some feedback for the community why we are doing that. So the idea is to have this you know, this conversation is starting. We would like to have your contribution, but not stop here. You know, it's open contribution, because during your time talking with each other, you certainly will find out other, you know, inputs that you need to share, and I'm glad to have that. Thank you.
Thank you. Just one moment, Ron. So let me lay the ground rules for the interaction with the speakers. We will, and anyone who speaks, including me, will be speaking in their individual capacity. The one thing I will say before I take that mode is that we will be convening our past nominating committee members, as many of them as who are around, and be working internally on already addressing a number of concerns that our members have had for some time about the nominating committee process and its functions, and that will help us to answer the broader questions. So that's one point, and we'll be doing that soon. The second thing that I just gave you all real quickly is the BC newsletter, which has the pictures of our two nominating committee appointees. Sarah is here, and you'll have a chance to see her. She's just tied up right now, and Wada will be arriving. And finally, there is an insert in your document, which is the final thing that I'm going to mention to you. The business constituency's perspective is that, and here's Sarah, the business constituency's perspective is that there is a GNSO and there's a GNSO policy council. It's called the council, but it is responsible for GTLD policy in the bylaws. So what you're doing is appointing people to the council, not to the GNSO. I just want to make that distinction, because our job search, so to speak, is for people who are qualified to participate in a policy development process. When we say GNSO council or appointment to the council, we mean specifically someone who fits the job description to be an effective functioning counselor. Whereas if we were to be talking about the GNSO, we might be talking about different characteristics, just if I can just make that point. Sarah is here. I do want to just open it up. Everyone is speaking as an individual. We will eventually and soon, I hope, have different comments for you. But thank you very much for joining us. And I saw Ron, and we'll just go to Zaid, and then to Bill, was that your arm? It was Aisha's arm, and then Bill's arm.
Thank you. I apologize. I was out in the hallway. I didn't catch the beginning. So if I'm asking questions that were already perhaps discussed, I apologize. But you asked for information for us or some guidance from us. So my first question would be, what's the timing? In which window do you want that guidance? And then the second question is, what is the window for the application process? Thank you.
Probably from December, normally. From December to April is the application time. And one thing that we want to have this time, it's more clear information for the community about what we are doing and when. So the roadshow of what we are doing now, what we're doing that, what's the next step we're going to have, just for people to follow and understand when the idea come, or when I have this less time to talk about or something like that, or I need to apply, and to apply how can I do that, and when I get some feedback, or this kind of not to be so close functionality, respecting our way that we need to have privacy and respect the privacy of the applicants. Even that, you know, the road scheduling is nothing against that. So, and people can understand what is the process and which step we are. So the first one is we certainly will get some feedback for change a little bit the way the applicant should, put himself for us. Because nowadays the expression of interest it's almost, you know, cut and paste, and, you know, you read again and again and again the same thing, and we don't have the correct answer we need to have from them. That's one thing. So we have till the beginning of December to fulfill this and make a very, you know, easy question to be responded, and maybe to have different questions for people who can apply for the each committee. For instance, I want to apply for DGNSO. So which questions I needed, for instance, Marilyn just said, how your experience with the police making, for instance. Yeah, you don't have this. So these kind of issues that we need to do till December, then the time, the window for the application will be open, and people need, and of course, because your business around, so we need more, you know, spread the word around and to get more people to apply for your communities, your countries, whatever. So because that is the headhunter process is the problem.
Thank you. If I can just add to that, the first part of your question is by Friday would be great, but I know that's probably impossible. We start sitting. It's this weird construct. We don't actually sit as a nominating committee under Vanda until Friday. Between Friday and December, we have to figure out what is our application look like. And that, if you have questions you want us to add, it doesn't have to come all at once if you want to start a dialogue. From my point of view, I chair the 2013. So for the first time, I'll be able to come to you much earlier. So I'll probably be coming to you in the spring or early summer saying, for the next year, what do you want? So my real answer, I guess, is continuous, but the sooner the better. And please don't wait until you've got everything. So.
And just a quick question on that. Where are we sending our comments to, you know, this, our ideas to? If you can just state that so we've got that for the record. Thank
you. I think there's two things here, and I'm outgoing, so it's easy for me to say. But, I mean, you know, one thing is we can start to hear your ideas now. I mean, we do have to use mics. So you actually have remote participants? Okay. So, sorry, it's Adam. And one of the things is that, you know, we want to start hearing your ideas right away. Any reaction you have is going to be noted down and used. I would suggest that but this is really up to Vanda as the chair, that, you know, you have Sarah here and Wouter's going to be here, and those would be the natural conduits from you to the to the NomCom. But the other thing is that you know them anyway, so you know.
Keep in mind that we actually need official. I'm sorry, Marilyn, we actually need official advice from you that we respond to, because the ATRT recommendations say we must get it, and we should attempt to say why we picked a candidate, how they relate to that advice. So, yes, by all means, Sarah and your other appointee will represent you well, but please feel free to give us official advice, and I think that should go to the chair, so in this case, to Vanda.
Yeah, I was just going to make that point, that was my understanding, that although individual members may give you their individual opinions, we will give official advice. I think I had Zaid, and then I had Aisha, and then I had Bill, and then I saw Steve.
Three quick ones. Values of the board, NomCom, swing vote, what you should be looking for in NomCom, what the new type of person in the new environment would be. So first, values for the board. I think openness and listening to people. The previously we found board members not opening up and listening. They already had a preconceived notion. They had an idea. They wouldn't sit there and really open up and hear and listen to what was being said. And they have to be persons who want to make the system work. It's a multi-level stakeholder system. It's a very different system. And I think we heard today in the board meeting that we just had, you know, talking about, look, we need, it's a quasi-regulator as well. We're a public good and a quasi-regulator, and people should view it as that. Second, NomCom as a swing vote. People who are going to be nominated by the NomCom into those little houses and said, well, you're going to be sitting here, are going to find themselves and have in previous experience found themselves in hostile houses. They've been. People have gone after them for having voted in a certain fashion. So you need to find people who have a thick skin, and they should know that before they get into those houses. But it's important that they are people who do swing, who aren't exactly the same as the house they're going into, because you want to create that swing vote simply because, or otherwise, you're going to have deadlock, and as you see right now, deadlock in the GNSO. So that's important. And the third is, looking 2 years ahead, new GTLDs, people who understand competition law is going to be very understand important in that arena, who understand how the RPMs came up, what the RPMs were supposed to do, and have they achieved those sort of things. And, you know, obviously to understand how reviews function as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Aisha Hassan. To build on what Zayed has just put forward, we had a discussion with the board about the impact of the new GTLD program on this structure. And I think going forward, it's going to be important to bear in mind that some of the companies and entities involved are going to be impacted, they're going to change. And so looking at that overall, as we go through potential modifications would be helpful in the balance. In terms of the board, I think one thing that, and the GNSO, I think it goes across the positions that you would be selecting. ICANN does exist in the landscape of an internet governance ecosystem. People refer to it many different ways. We, in ICC's membership, are very concerned about what's going to happen in the next 3 years at various treaty conferences, various forums, various political negotiations and processes, and ICANN is part of that whole constellation. And I think more and more, having people that do understand that constellation, even if they're not deeply involved in any of them, is critical to ensuring that ICANN overall, at all levels, is very aware that it is part of that constellation and that that is part of how people make decisions and participate in this. Because as we see structures working or not working, that becomes an area of criticism and attack from outside entities and even people within the community. So my sense is that bearing that in mind all the way along is very important, and especially in the coming few years, ensuring the balance in the board and in the GNSO of people who have that understanding and have an empathy towards the importance that that has for this organization will help to strengthen the organization for the future. Thank you.
So Aisha hit a number of things.
And you are Bill Smith with PayPal.
I am Bill Smith with PayPal. So the organizations that would be useful, specific organizations to have knowledge of would be the ITU, the IETF, the IGF, W3C, and similar organizations, I would suggest. I think other qualities would be to... for someone who understands the difference between the need for perhaps setting strategy and direction top-down, but allowing the bottoms-up implementation through what in the technical community we call cat herding. It can be extremely difficult to get people to move in the way you want them to. It can take time, but there are ways that through pushing back, it's possible to get everyone to move in a direction. As I would also look for someone who has experience in finance. All of this in preferable in nonprofit setting, but not essential. But with finance, corporate governance, legal, so distinct from corporate governance, but the knowing when to invoke the need to have counsel present, to not have counsel present, when to bring in outside counsel. Allow individual directors to have counsel, et cetera. There needs to be they need to be independent, truly independent, to be able to make decisions in an independent manner and know when to recuse themselves, if necessary. Experience with establishing and maintaining consensus-based multi-stakeholder organizations. I'll just personally, one of the issues I see at ICANN is that it talks a good talk about bottoms-up, multi-stakeholder, consensus-based, but I see lots of conflict. I see lots of voting. 7 pages of GNSO charter describing how to vote. That's unusual from my experience in an organization that does things by consensus. And also an understanding generally around what it means to be open and transparent and still be able to get things done. So I think, you know, for me, a board member, they're the things I would be looking for pretty high bar, but also a real understanding of how to get things done by consensus and experience in, I think I've already said it, but establishing, changing, moving organizations forward. One of my concerns is that ICANN, the perception of ICANN in a number of these with governments and other institutions is that it is non-responsive and ineffectual currently. And that's a serious concern of mine and my company's. That one I can absolutely.
Can I ask a clarification?
You certainly can, and any of you can. And I just want Stephen to know he's in the queue, and I'm going to take one other person, and then we're going to wrap up, so please do.
Sorry, I thank you for those comments. They were very helpful. One of the things we certainly have heard a lot about is independence that you mentioned, and I'd like you to perhaps clarify or add to that. Officially right now we're told the ICANN board only has two non-independent members, Bruce Tonkin because he has a contract, his organization has a contract directly, and Ron Beckstrom because he's an employee. But if you look at it as some stock exchanges might in the U.S. or a public board might in the U.S., more of them tend to not be considered independent. So it would be helpful to hear from you, what definition should we be looking at and what do you consider independent? Because I think our job is to appoint those independent if we can, certainly.
Sure. So this is Bill Smith again. When I say independence, I don't mean by the SEC or the regulatory definition. What I'm talking about, the ability for an individual, okay, so I represent PayPal here. I believe, and I've represented Sun Microsystems in organizations, and I've sat on boards, and I have made decisions that are not necessarily in the best interest of my organization, the company that pays me, because the decision for the organization that I was the board member of, and I have a fiduciary responsibility to that organization, required me to vote in that manner, okay? And that's the type of independence I'm looking at, is to say I will take decisions that, in fact, are not, and I think Zahid may have alluded to this, but having tough skin, to be able to take the pressure that says, why did you vote that way? And the answer should be because it's the right thing for the organization, even though it may not have been the right thing for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Sarah? Wait a minute.
Am I allowed to talk to them?
I have to check. Of course you're allowed to talk, but I just want to finalize a cue. Sarah, Steve, I'm letting you jump the cue from Steve, so we'll give him the last word.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I, on the issue of independence, it really wraps right around to the difficult conflicts discussion we were having in the larger room. But, the cleaning up this whole conflict of interest mess, and that's one reason why I'm so excited to serve on the NOMCOM. I think it begins there. So there will be a huge educational function for selecting and educating folks about what it means to avoid a conflict of interest. And in my view, it goes way beyond a particular contract or a particular vote. It's pervasive. I mean, if your particular company is wrapped up and has a financial interest in new TLDs, for example, then every decision that you make will be influenced by that unless there is some sort of wall. It raises very thorny issues. So, I'm very pleased to see some of the new board members who do think independently and don't have strong conflicts or apparent conflicts, but I hope it's something that, the NOMCOM will be looking at in a kind of a broader sense as this issue moves on.
I'm going to say something about that topic as it passes. I want to be a little careful about something here, and that is the nominating committee has a certain scope of work, but it is a narrow scope of work and a particular scope of work. The larger topic of ethics and integrity at ICANN, I just want to mention to you all that the board in their meetings with all of the constituencies today are discussing the topic of ethics and integrity, and as an informational piece, we'll be happy, Benny will clip the part of the transcript. So one of the things I want to be really clear about is our instructions to our representatives will be that it's not their job to develop the criteria, but we do expect there to be the development of criteria and changes that are going on simultaneously. So they'll have to be very much in the loop of knowing what is going on in the larger organization. I think it's very, very clear to me from that meeting with the board and from the conversation with the board, and we'll hear more about it at the public forum, that the board does intend to take very seriously a major change in this particular area.
Sorry, just to elaborate on that, we were informed yesterday that given the level of possible conflicts and people recusing themselves from the board vote, that if we were to appoint, say, three people that all had GTLD conflicts, it may be impossible for the board to act because too many people are. So it is something certainly we have to consider. I agree with Marilyn. We are very narrowly focused as to who we pick. Yeah. The other interesting thing that I want to just bring up that hasn't been mentioned is we also have to pick with certain diversity rules under the bylaws. One thing I do want to make sure is clear, this year we must pick someone from Latin America for the board because the person coming off is from Latin America. Now, we could reappoint him, but it is key that we must pick whoever the best candidate is that comes from Latin America. So concentrating perhaps efforts there would be helpful to us as well.
Yeah. Thanks. Steve Delphi.
Latin American and Caribbean. Don't forget it. Yeah.
Hi, Steve Del Bianco with NetChoice. The requirements for diversity as well as independence will make it even more important to answer Rob Hall's question about technical competence, so I'll speak only to that. And my advice is that we find directors who are, let's say, adequately technical in order to discern rhetoric from reality. It would be adequately technical to know when you're hearing rhetoric versus reality, and have the ability to pursue the technical truth of an argument. And I'll just give you two examples that you might even use as a litmus test. No matter how you felt about XXX, we heard rhetoric about XXX blocking at some nations would break the internet. And I look in the eyeballs of the directors in San Francisco and said, do they believe that? And if do they know how to discover what part of that is true and what part is rhetoric? Another example would be something I'm working on in the U.S. Congress. Would taking down domains break DNSSEC? Yeah. A little tougher to figure that one out. But we don't expect people to know the answer to those questions, but to be able to discern rhetoric from reality and then pursue the technical truth.
So let me just say that my plan, assuming that the constituency members support this, will be that I will ask our past two nominating committee members, Mike Roberts and Chris Martin, to take the lead in helping us to work on developing our formal input. But I would just make one other reference, one other point to the two of you. In the audit report, during 2010 and up until June 2011, the audit report said that eight board members had conflicts. Two of those were advisory, they were liaisons. Of interest to me is Rob Mohan's name was not on that list, and neither was Bruce Tonkin's. The issue of how we determine what conflicts are is not a comment for here, but I think the information, Rob, that you have, and that is very important for people to know, is that independence, to Bill's point, and understanding conflicts. So this is a comment about whether people even recognize that they have conflicts and know when to recuse themselves. And so I think whatever goes on externally, I think not only adding questions to your questionnaire, but thinking about the additional coaching and training that may almost have to come after the application is received and before people decide whether they're going to progress. Because it's very easy to assume that somebody got excited about ICANN through a fellowship program, found out about it 2 years ago, they're deciding to apply now. They're not necessarily aware of the, and they may be very highly qualified, but this whole complicated shift within our ecosystem may not be on their mind. So I just say to you all, as you think about the awareness materials that you'll be and the outreach that you'll be doing, I think there's more than the questionnaire and that's going to have to be enhanced.
May I? And then I think we can, I don't know, are you closing or or not, but we're taking up your time. I wanted to finish with a couple of quick points. One is that we're trying to make available a list of attributes that it's not from us, it's from other sources, of what directors, you know, the attributes that a director might have. And we will send that list to you, and you could add to it if you think there's attributes that are missing, and you could prioritize the ones, you could say, and just generally work with that list if it may become useful or not. In terms of your formal input, yes, there is a formal response is required, but tomorrow morning from 9 o'clock we have a roundtable meeting with the community, and we'd very much like for you to send somebody to sit at that table. That's the first question. And the second is, sorry Sarah, you're already invited, but I don't think we may have remembered to say that, but you are. And you know, that may be the first point, that you can either as individuals join and make comments, or perhaps if you have time now to, you know, just pull a few thoughts together that you might throw into that roundtable tomorrow as talking points. That would be a good thing to do. I'm not saying that this is your formal input, that is still required, but you know, this is the next opportunity tomorrow morning from 9 to 10:30 in a room that I haven't got immediately before me, but it's on the schedule. But you know, so this is what we want to do. We're trying to reach out to the community broadly, and of course your input's very valuable.
Thank you. We'll talk with Sarah, and I'm sure we'll have some other folks who will be able to come. Thank you very much for this outreach. And so now we have, I have one more request for you. It's really, to me, extremely helpful and has been a significant change that funding has been made available for the participation and of the nominating committee representatives in at least one ICANN meeting, and that there are two face-to-face meetings that are funded. I would ask that you consider extending the availability of funding for at least one more day for the face-to-face trips, so that particularly those nominating committee folks who really cannot afford to pay the additional cost feel that they are able to come, and it is really helpful for them to be participating in the community and to be hearing the discussions that are going on. And for some of them, that some folks that we send you, it is a barrier to them. They can come for the days you fund, but may not be able to be there for the rest of the time. So that would be one point I would make. And the other point I would make, actually, Adam has heard this so many times from me, I'm surprised he missed it. And that is that to this constituency, we want as much of your focus, if you're going to make the other appointments, and that we may have different views on that in the future, but if you're going to make those other appointments, then we need to make sure you have the time and the resources to focus on them and to pay as much attention to them, including interviews with them, preparing them, having a meet and greet, you know, doing those kinds of things. So we're not being critical. We're telling you we'd like to help you make sure that budget is there.
Marilyn, if I can just respond quickly to that. I think we both, Randa and I and Adam, all agree with you. We're in this weird state right now where the nominating committee doesn't officially exist. So the travel budget right now, if we were to bring people in earlier for this specific meeting, comes out of Adam's budget last year, not ours. Now that the bylaws have changed, I think you'll find I'll be coming to you much earlier in the process saying, give me your rep for the next year, and we'll try and work, Van and I have agreed to try and work budgets so that we can attend, because the first one is kind of a weird, you know, and it has to happen after the Friday. The other meetings don't. They could happen during, they could happen before. You know, we could hold the nominating committee meetings on a Wednesday, Thursday. We don't need to wait till afterwards, for example. So we're both open and being very flexible and changing things, and we've got a new structure that allows us to do that right now. I will also credit Adam for the first time of... You're quite right. The nominating committee, out of the three meetings, traditionally met in person the first and the third, and there wasn't a budget for the second. Adam was able to go back to ICANN and get a budget for the second and bring the entire nominating committee to that second one. We'll be attempting to do the same thing, because it's probably the most important one.
Yeah.
Adam also spearheaded us for the first time, I believe, interviewing every single board candidate that had a chance at it, either by video conference or in person, days before, just 2 days before, so the entire committee was able to interview those. Yeah. we will commit to try and extend that to GNSO, CCNSO, and ALAC, because I believe the in-person is perhaps the best judge of, you know, of that interview is very important, and we'll try and use technology if we can to do that.
This is very helpful. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm getting a row of tweets that have food in them. I will suggest to you all that there is something in this that we think will be very useful to you, and I want to credit Chris for that. It's a complex layer, difficult to explain structure in the GNSO and in its council. I hope this will be a tool for you, and will be the newsletter will be on the website, and Sarah will have some copies with her to bring to your first meeting. We're going to wrap up here, but for members, I need to tell you two things. Vinny's going to tell you what room you're going to come to at 2:30, where we are going to meet with the CSG. And I've received a number of complaints from members about the experience that some members are having in the hotel they're in here. And so far, I haven't gotten any death threats over it, but I understand the anger is pretty significant. The interesting thing is we do have business constituency members that are having the same experience that the NOMCOM and the ALAC are having. So it's going to be, I think, a subject for the public forum. But the second half of this is that members have given me a mandate to tell ICANN that it is not acceptable and cannot continue and must be fixed now, that the hotel for the Costa Rica meeting is already full and that there is not appropriate planning. If ICANN chooses, if ICANN deals with meetings in this way, that this is creating a significant barrier to our ability to commit to participate. And I will be talking more with the members, but I will be delivering that message twice. Thursday morning, there's a Meetings of the Future. I'd like to have a written statement that you all get to see and can support, and then we will make it at the public forum. I have asked for a face-to-face meeting with the senior staff and the meetings director for people who need to express their concerns. There's a questionnaire that has been posted by the ALAC, where people are giving detailed information about whether the lock on their door works and whether their light bulbs turn on and how many bugs they've seen that day. This is a extremely stressful, unhappy experience for the host country. And the decision that was made by ICANN staff to accept that hotel is creating a challenging situation for a country host that is doing a tremendous job of welcoming all of us and of trying to make this a successful meeting. So we're going to be positive and productive and as tolerant as we can be and still deal with the problems. Grab some lunch. See you at 2:30 in what room? Very well said.